97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see old glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads.
Second Amendment Radio in the great outdoors. Fourth of July weekend. And, you know, an update on Toby Keith that just kind of hit me broadside was that about a year ago, he was diagnosed with stomach cancer.
Oh.
Now, in my history of you know, working in country music, I mean, when he first came on, he was the pretty boy. He had flowing blonde hair.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Loved him.
Yeah.
And I've been mistaken for Toby Keith many times, actually, when I had my mullet. And then he turned bad boy just overnight.
Yeah.
And,
Toby's
a big dude, you know, and I saw a picture of him and I my jaw hit the floor. I could not believe how this disease has affected him. He's on chemo. And I just saw a report the other day, just another, you know, little update that Toby plans, if all goes well, to tour by the end of the year. So prayers with Toby Keith and his family.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, this segment is brought to you proudly by Razorback Armory. They are in De Pere on Manchester Road, just a half mile east of 270. A great shop to go into as Razorback Armory continues to arm America. And they've got silencers and a great sale on Sig Sauers right now. Check them out, RazorbackArmory.com. All right, so are you getting ready for the 4th of July weekend? Are you going to do something fantastic?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't go that far, but probably. I know we got a guest coming up a little later talking about fireworks, and he runs a fireworks tent, and we'll give you some inside baseball on how that works and what's available and all that good stuff. Since, you know, I know my son is 25 now, that doesn't live at the home anymore. I mean, we're not real big fireworks type people. Usually we try to go watch a display. There, the city of Ellisville puts one on every year. And there's a hill not far from my house where people tend to gather, and you can see it from a distance without getting stuck in the traffic. So I'm that grumpy old guy who doesn't like to get stuck in the traffic anymore.
Well, yeah. Sometimes you don't even have to get to the spot to see it because they're so big. You know, but you really, you know, especially as dry as it's been, it's so dangerous right now. I'm sure the fire departments are all on alert because anything can spark. Something that is, it could be horrible. So just be careful. I don't mean to be, you know, like the old fuddy duddy guy, like you're just talking about. But the other thing is your animals, man. My dog Fletch, I come home one year and it was 4th of July and fireworks were going off in the neighborhood. I couldn't find him anywhere. He was in the bathtub. He was in the bathtub hiding. Mm-hmm. So just look out for your animals.
There are a lot of them. A lot of them that, you know, are like that. My daughter's dog has a, thunder vest that they put on when there's a thunderstorm. So you can imagine what the 4th of July is like for this dog. Oh. She's freaked out by those loud noises.
Well, and the other thing, too, is people often will go to their firearms. I mean, you can, and that's almost a game you can play. Is that a firework or is that a firearm?
Oh, no.
You know, because people do that.
That's dumb.
Waste of ammo.
Well, it's a waste of ammo, and what goes up is going to come down somewhere. It's just stupid to fire a gun into the air. They've had that problem for years in the city of St. Louis, I know, for sure. But it's not isolated, obviously, to the city of St. Louis.
Right. But isn't that the advice of your president?
Take this double-barrel shotgun and aim it out the window and fire two blasts outside, I think is how that bite goes.
Yeah, I think
I told Jill, take that double-barrel shotgun. Yeah, bad advice to shoot your gun out the window, particularly to empty both barrels, because what are you going to do if there's still a bad guy around?
Exactly.
I know, right? That's a problem. So, you know, speaking of guns, since we've kind of eased into that, did you see what's happening here usually you think about this as being a St. Louis issue. Obviously, crime is a problem. The politicians in the St. Louis City and Kansas City would like to be able to override state law when it comes to gun laws, right? So they're going to start, and then they've introduced language this week for an initiative petition that would eventually, if they gain enough signatures, get on the ballot for November of 2024, and people would then vote to allow the city of St. Louis and the city of Kansas City to make gun rules that are more restrictive than what the state has. They currently cannot do that. But the catch here is, if you think for a moment that they're not after your AR-15 and AK-47 because you don't live in the city of Kansas City or St. Louis, you're wrong. Because this initiative petition would allow them, one version of it would allow them to do it in any city as long as it was voted on. The other version of it would allow it in St. Louis, St. Louis County, Kansas City, and the county that surrounds Kansas City. So people who live in St. Louis County who realize there's not really a gun problem in St. Louis County, it's in the city. Well, guess what? St. Louis County would also, with Sam Page and the progressives that run St. Louis County, they could also impose tighter gun restrictions on you, tighter than whatever the state legislature had approved. So people need to keep this on their radar. They're going to try to get the language approved now, and then they're going to go out and start trying to collect signatures on this.
If you give them an inch, they're going to think they're the ruler, and it's just chipping away. So you really do have to be careful of this. How about Mark? How about this for a genius idea? How about enforce the gun laws that we have? How about that for an idea?
Well, you know, there you go thinking again, Bo Matthews. That's the problem. this is all an attempt to circumvent your First Amendment rights. They got all kinds of problems in the city, yet they ran an op-ed in the New York Times this week, written by the St. Louis Post-Dispatch editor of the editorial page, about how St. Louis has bad crime, and it's the problem of conservative politicians. Like, in other words, it's the gun that's causing the crime problem in the city of St. Louis, not the criminals that they consistently breed through bad policy, right? I mean, a Republican hasn't been elected in the city of St. Louis in my lifetime that I'm aware of. I mean, I don't know when the last time a Republican was mayor in the city of St. Louis or controlled the Board of Aldermen, and yet they want to blame the politicians in Jefferson City for their crime problem.
Right, right. And in the story that I saw in STL Today, Richard Rosenfeld, a criminologist at the University of Missouri St. Louis, and one of the group's organizers, said in an interview that the committee has decided to go ahead with its statewide petition effort unless polling suggests no possibility of passage. So you're getting it at the university level as well, which a lot of them do, you know, lean left. Plain and simple, just like the leadership of these cities. But it's going to bleed over. They're already talking about it going into St. Louis County.
Absolutely.
It's not good.
Yeah,
not good.
One version of it, there are three of them. One version of it would allow, if it passed, any county or municipality in the entire state could vote to make its local gun laws tighter than whatever the statewide gun laws are. And it's just, this is the people to blame here are any politician you know that did not vote to support initiative petition reform in the last session. They could have ended all this nonsense by raising the threshold to 60% to get the signatures. It would have raised that requirement, and it would have raised the vote requirement to get one of these in. So I don't know.
Right, right. We need to keep our eye on it, and we will. And that's why we have this show, Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. We are going to move on to the Great Outdoors. 4th of July weekend, people are buying fireworks, and maybe by the hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars. Well, Paul's Fireworks is a big supporter of the Big Dogs Poker Bash each year. And so we're going to talk to him and find out how the sausage is made. I want to find out what they've got this year. Because I just want to know what my neighbor is going to be blowing their money on.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Plus, we're going to talk about some fantastic fishing in a spot you may never have heard about from a good friend of mine who's going to call into the show a little later. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
Great Outdoors, and with 4th of July right here, well, we wanted to talk to one of the gazillion fireworks guys. I have a personal friend in this business, so I wanted to talk to him. I wanted to ask how the sausage was made, basically, about fireworks, because you see them everywhere. You buy one, you get 94 free, or whatever the signs are. check pricing, you know, there's advertising to lure you in. But A Great American is also a sponsor of my Big Dogs Poker Bash each year. He's a great guy. His family, very famous in the Jefferson County area. Paul Boniker of Paul's Fireworks on W is on the line. He's a hardworking dump truck driver, but he does every year get into the fireworks business. Paul, welcome to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, sir. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you for having me.
How long have you been doing the fireworks biz?
This is my 12th season.
Wow, that's awesome. And it seems like you have to know somebody to get into that business. And who got you into it?
A buddy of mine that is down in Murphy, Terry Berno, Berno's Fireworks.
Yeah, that's good. Paul, Mark Cox here. I'm fascinated. Obviously, the tents pop up all over the place a week or two out from the 4th of July every year. Tell us where your location is. You're down there on W, right? Is that what Bo said?
Yes, I'm on Highway W, about a mile mile out of House Springs, yeah. And about five miles out of Eureka.
Wow. So tell us a little inside baseball, as Bo was saying there. How do you? I know for a while there the supply chains were a problem for people in the fireworks industry.
Yeah.
So what's it like these days? And how do you prepare? How do you know how much to order and what to order?
Well. That is a tricky question because every year it is different. We, we'll take in, you know, say one year we'll sell a whole lot of bottle rockets and we'll sell out. Well, the next year we buy double and then the following year we sell half of what we sold the year before. So, you know, it's crazy. There's no rhyme or reason how, you know, people do it, you know, but it's exciting because I enjoy taking and just meeting people and talking to them and, you know, find out what they do and, you know, how they do it.
Just getting to know people. That's what it is. And I bet you have a lot of return customers. Again, thanks for supporting the Big Dogs Poker Bash. I'm sure you'll see that gift certificate come back to you that was sold at the silent auction. But, Mark, I have to tell you, Paul ramped up his attention-getting skills when he bought a retired fire truck. And so he proudly displays the American flag on that that ladder. How long ago did you get that thing, Paul?
This is my second year with the fire truck. So, yeah,
do you have people coming by for photo ops?
Oh yeah, it's crazy, you know, and you really find out who the firemen are in the area. they all come by to look at it and they look at it and go, oh, wait a minute, especially the young guys. Wait a minute, I don't know how to run this. doesn't have all that new technology, so yeah, I've got a 102 foot. Ladder fire truck, and I've got it up about 95 foot in the air with a I believe it's an 8x16 American flag.
Paul, talk to me about how things have changed over the years. You know, I remember growing up as a kid, you know, everybody wanted M80, these M80s. And people where I grew up used to blow up mailboxes with them, and I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff. My impression of fireworks is that they have decreased in power over the years. Is that, I mean, for smaller ones, is that true or not?
Oh, yes, sir. They're you know, I mean, the federal government has really reduced. You take a bottle rocket, for example. A bottle rocket is maybe half the size of what it was, you know, 40 years ago, even 20 years ago. So, yeah, there's, and, you know, people come in and go, oh, yeah, you're getting M80s? Well, I got an M80, but it's, you know, it's probably a third of what it was, you know, especially when somebody comes in my age. I'm 22, you know, but I'm 66 years old, you know, and people come in and they, you know, my age, and they go, oh, you got any M80s? Yeah, I do, but, you know, they're nothing like what we used to have.
That's so. Right.
You know, it, before we got on the call this morning, I started reminiscing about fireworks, you know, adventures, let's call them, when I was a kid. My cousins would make me run across the backyard back and forth, and they would shoot bottle rockets at me to try and hit me. And they did. And lady, do you remember Ladyfingers? They were like really teeny tiny.
Yeah.
And do you still sell those or no?
No, I do not have those. I'm sure that there's something out there that resembles it, but I do not carry them.
So,
I've got a small tent, so I can't carry everything, you know. Yeah. So
I'm not asking you to give up any trade secrets or anything, but where do you source most of your fireworks? Because I know there for a while, a lot of these came from China, I believe. And with the boats moving slow and all that stuff a couple years ago, there was a real supply chain issue.
Well, as far as I know, there are no manufacturers in the United States for the fireworks that we are allowed to sell.
Okay.
Everything comes from China. And the last 2 years, we got about 75% of what we ordered. This year, it all came through, and our prices are reduced. Shipping came down, so we are putting our savings to the customer. We, you know, like our 500-gram Big Shot ones, they're on an average of $10 cheaper.
Now, if you can give any tips to anybody, because not everybody's going to come by your tent, and it's a competitive business because they're everywhere. What are some tips? I mean, is the buy one, get 20 free? Is that a scam or what is that? Or what should we look for the best deals?
Well, everybody, I don't go to other stands because I went into this business 12 years ago to save the people money, and you know, this buy one get four free. 1 year they did it with a package of six of a small little zipper that came in a package of six. It was buy one get five free that year, and it was $1.50 for that pack. Well, today I sell that same pack of six for 75 cents.
Oh, wow. Okay. And okay. Now, you got a lot of people that... go ahead. Sorry.
There are... I mean, it's like we have Morning Glory big 36-inch sparklers. You know, people come in and tell us that they've been in tents where they're, you know, $7.50. Ours are $2.50 a pack.
Wow.
Well, at your stand, it's different because you don't have carnival workers working for you. You actually know exactly what you're selling. So nothing against carnival workers.
We have seen, that's what we pride ourselves in also. We have seen everything that's in our tent. We have seen it shot off. We have timed it. We have taken notes. If somebody comes in, asks us what to do. And we also have a television with a scanner that, you know, if they want to see exactly what it does. Of course, it doesn't give you a full, you know, effect of everything because it's so far away. But, you know, people come in and they go, well, what does this do? And I tell them, and they're going, holy cow, we were at the tent down below. And they said, well, it shoots flaming balls.
Yeah.
Well, every piece of paper on those fireworks says, if it goes up in the air and it has report, says shooting flaming balls.
Okay. You know, Paul, we're talking to Paul Boniker of Paul's Fireworks in down on Highway W near House Springs. And, you know, I see the tent. I was in St. Charles County the other day, and I saw the tents all over the place because they sell them all over there out there as well.
Oh yeah.
And then I get back and I see a article. In fact, I think it was on a Facebook feed. Somebody had posted it from the city of Maryland Heights, warning people that all fireworks are illegal there, and if you get caught, it's like a $1,000 fine. So you really have to be careful. I guess, if they're enforcing it, because not all agencies do, but you have to really know your municipality and what the rules are, right?
That is correct. I mean, Jefferson County, Franklin County, St. Charles County, they allow fireworks, but St. Louis County and the city of St. Louis, they do not. You know, it is actually against the law to set off fireworks. Now, usually they'll give you a pass on the 4th of July, again, I'm not promoting anything or doing anything illegally. So
yeah, of course.
Of course not. You know, I tell you, Paul, we have some good friends that live down in Chesterfield, and they had a big house, and they had a big backyard. And I would venture to guess they would spend a couple grand, and they would put on a fireworks show in their backyard that was the equivalent of probably what some small cities do. And we never heard from the police. So clearly there are, with a wink and a nod, some of them have decided to enforce it and
the
some
haven't.
The police
only come if they get a call.
If they get a complaint, probably, I would guess.
That's why you invite your neighbors.
That's probably it.
Yeah, just invite those neighbors over for the party, and then you'll be okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Hey, Paul, in the 12 years that you've been selling fireworks, do you have a guy named Stumpy that comes by missing a couple of fingers or anything?
Well, no, but, I have five fingers missing, and they tell me that the best fireworks come from the man with less fingers. So
ain't that the truth? All right. Well, do you have a website that people can look up, or just Facebook, I guess, is what you're on?
No, I don't. I have never set up anything like that. I'm not a computer person, so I apologize. I do not do
not
that. It's kind of mainly a word of mouth type situation is what I'm hoping for. So
well. I boosted one of your posts for Facebook, so hopefully people come and find you. If you're looking for somebody that's really experienced, really knows what they're selling, and he can sell you, we were talking last night on the phone, how many continuous firecrackers can you buy these days? Because I had a buddy that used to buy 10,000 every year, and he'd just light it once, and boom, off goes the show. What do you got out there at the tent?
Yeah, the largest roll I have is 4,000 firecrackers per roll, and you can light the end and make a mess or put it in a trash can and then collect the mess in there, but they say it's about a 10-minute show to listen to that. So
okay.
And then we also have some small, it's small and for $1.50 we have what we call a crazy crack up. It's a little bitty fountain and it lasts 3 or 4 minutes. It's been a really good seller. So,
well, Paul, happy 4th of July to you, and good luck with the rest of as sales go. Now, is it always a situation where, like the day after, like on the 5th, everything's going to be half off?
Well, that's what everybody hopes. I do not discount my prices because I feel that I already am 50% off. So, I do not discount my prices because I actually buy my firecrackers. 90% of those other tents, those people that are working there have nothing invested.
I get it.
If they give them away, exactly. That's.
Well, Paul, thank you for giving us some time today down on the Highway W near House Springs. Paul's Fireworks. We appreciate you, my friend. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And I'll be honest with you. You know, everybody knows it's been really dry. So just be really careful when you're blowing
hopefully
things
we'll
off because we don't need to overwork
we'll
the firefighters out there.
Hopefully we'll get some rain this weekend.
Yeah,
so.
Let's hope so.
I hope so. All right, safe to you, brother. Thank you. Happy 4th.
Same to you guys.
We've got more of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors coming up right here. Stay right there.
Mission Temple Fireworks, babe.
Hey!
This Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
Fishing or jump in the lake.
Welcome back. It is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Fishing is something I have not gotten to do so far this year. Bo, how about you? You been doing any fishing in your pond out
no,
there?
No, I have not. Nope, no, no. But big, and it's, it should be a crime because your nickname is Big Fish.
Well, so I know. Right. I know. I'm feeling kind of guilty about it. However, when we go to Montana to Glacier National Park, I am taking my waders and my fly fishing rod, and I'm going to wet a line. I may not catch anything, but I'm going to try.
I'm going on my trip on the 21st of this month. Happy July.
Nice. Very nice.
And, Mark, do you tie your own ties? Or your own flies, I mean?
No, I do not.
We have a party the night before we leave.
I tie them onto my line, but I don't make my own flies, if that's what you're asking.
Gotcha. Boy, that's specific, isn't it? That's like a reloading.
I help.
Do you?
By handing the cutters to the people
that are actually making them. Yeah, I get that. Well, I'm always impressed when I see pictures of people coming back from trips where they've caught some big fish. My friend Darren Crook joining us right now. He also happens to own Rhino Shield here in the greater St. Louis area, and I've known him for many, many years. In fact, our wives went to high school together. That's how far back we go. Darren, great to get you on here. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
I'm doing fine, brother. It's good to get you on the radio. And, you know, you told me I'm getting ready to go on that fishing trip with my dad again. And I knew before long I'd get some pictures in my text box with these big, huge fish, northern pike and stuff. I guess you're catching up there. Tell people about the trip. You go to the same place every year?
I do. We've been going to the same fly-in lodge on Rowan Lake. It's in northwest Ontario. We're crawling up on 30 years now without missing very many years. Well, and, yeah, it is a slice of heaven. World-class muskies, big pike, lots of smallmouth, big lake trout because it's deep. It has areas that are 150 foot deep. Yeah, this last trip we caught 7 muskies. 3 of them were 4 foot long. We caught about... We got about 300 bass in 6 days. About a dozen went 5 pounds, and those were smallmouth. We caught 5 or 6 pike that went over 40 inches, and then 3 or 4 lake trout that went over 3 feet. So, yeah, it is the best place in the world. I love my time there.
I'll bet you do. Some of the pictures, Bo, I shared a couple of those pictures with you.
Incredible.
I know.
Darren, it's so impressive because, more importantly, the fishing is fantastic, but you said you've been doing this 30 years with your dad. This is memories that will last forever, isn't it?
It is. My dad will be 81 on Halloween, and he's in awesome shape, super grateful and blessed. You know,
so
the ability for him to sit in a boat and fish hard like we always have since the year we went is just excellent.
Well, was it his idea originally? Who set this up to begin with?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. In the early 90s, him and my mom went to a different place, and on the floatplane ride on the way back, they stopped at this place, and they picked up Bob Trumpy. And to go back to where the base was for the float plane. And, you know, Bob Trumpy, longtime sports announcer guy, he said, I've been coming here for, you know, 30 years at that point with his boy. He was like, the people are great, the food's great, the fishing is incredible. And so the next year, he booked a trip there with his brother and my uncle. And then the next year, after they got back, he told my dad, you need to take your boy here. And we've been going ever since.
So maybe you don't want to give up your secret fishing place, but what's the name of this place?
It's called Alexander's on Rowan Lake.
Okay.
It's pretty much a 20-minute floatplane ride from Nestor Falls, which is about a 75-80-minute drive from International Falls.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're way up in there. That's not the Boundary Waters canoe area, though, correct?
No, it's, like I said, it's about 80-minute drive to get in a float plane to fly for like 15 or 20 minutes.
Just incredible.
It's a little south of Dryden. It's kind of east of Lake of the Woods.
Wow.
For the people in the know.
Yeah, I grew up in Minnesota, so we made it to Duluth and Cloquet a lot towards the northern portion. I grew up in the southern portion of Minnesota, but just beautiful country up there. And Boundary Waters Canoe Area, I mean, that's where you know, no motors at all. I mean, you got to canoe right. in or paddle in. Darren, just random question. And my dad's getting on 80 as well. What was your dad's career? Was he also in the business you're in like in Rhino Shield or any kind of siding?
No, he was an insurance broker, and for his whole career, he dealt with a lot of like big coal mines. He did a lot of big commercial.
Gotcha.
He had to retire.
It was a random question. Twice.
Well, it makes me sad that I didn't do something like that with my dad for all those years. When we went fishing, did a lot of fishing in Lake Erie and stuff like that. Only went to Canada once, and I wish we'd done it a lot more than that. So, Darren, for people that like me who've never gone to one of these fly-in lodge situations, obviously
not yet.
Not yet, but obviously, how I may plan a trip with my son actually, but. Obviously, if you're catching bass and you're catching northern and you're catching trout, you have to fish differently for all of those. Do you go out in the morning and fish for one, come back, have lunch, go out in the afternoon, fish for others? I mean, describe how that works at one of these lodges.
So the place that we go to, we're on the American plan. We have a cabin that has our own bathroom. No air conditioning, but it does have heat if it gets cold. They feed us breakfast at 7. We're usually on the water by 8. Depending on what the reports are, we'll usually try to troll for some trout in the morning, and that opens up the ability to be catching almost anything.
Yeah.
Then, if it's muskie season, we'll usually troll for muskies. When we hit a spot that looks good, then we start fishing for pike, and then we catch bass at the same time.
Wow.
They pack us a lunch, so we don't come in for that, sandwiches, and we take big jugs of water, and then we usually come in around 5 to have a cocktail. They feed us dinner at 6. And the time of year that we go in June, if it's clear out, you can fish till 10.
Wow.
So then it's just rinse and repeat in the evening. And that's because we've been going there so long, the nature of the muskies are they're kind of like dogs. They're very territorial. So when you catch one, you can go back the next year and know that one is a little bit bigger and probably in the same area.
So it's all catch and release?
Yeah, for us. Okay. Because we fly to get there. It's just a sport thing for us. We may have a couple shore lunches during the week, depending on the weather, but, we don't bring anything back, and that kind of mesmerizes people. They're like, oh, yeah, how do you bring it back? We're like, we don't. And they're like, what?
I was just wondering why I'd never been invited over for a fish fry. Now I get it.
That's it. Yep.
So I'm trying to picture this place you're flying into. About how many people stay at the place? Have you brought your kids along or other family members along to continue this tradition?
So my youngest is 17, and he's finally getting to the point where I think he can handle sitting in a boat all day long for 6 or 7 days. So that's right around the corner. My daughter was never really interested in much in fishing, but
I'm gonna go fishing or jump in the lake.
Welcome back. It is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Fishing is something I have not gotten to do so far this year. Bo, how about you? You been doing any fishing in your pond out there?
No, I have not. No. It should be a crime because your nickname is Big Fish.
Well, so I know. Right. I know. I'm feeling kind of guilty about it. However, when we go to Montana to Glacier National Park, I am taking my waders and my fly fishing rod, and I'm going to wet a line. I may not catch anything, but I'm going to try.
I'm going on my trip on the 21st of this month. Happy July.
Nice. Very nice.
And, Mark, do you tie your own ties? Or your own flies, I mean?
No. I do not.
We have a party the night before we leave.
I tie them onto my line, but I don't make my own flies, if that's what you're asking.
Gotcha. Boy, that's specific, isn't it? That's like a reloading.
I help.
Do you?
By handing the cutters to the people
actually making them. Yeah, I get that. Well, I'm always impressed when I see pictures of people coming back from trips where they've caught some big fish. My friend Darren Crook joining us right now. He also happens to own Rhino Shield here in the greater St. Louis area, and I've known him for many, many years. In fact, our wives went to high school together. That's how far back we go. Darren, great to get you on here. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
I'm doing fine, brother. It's good to get you on the radio. And you know, you told me I'm getting ready to go on that fishing trip with my dad again. And I knew before long I'd get some pictures in my text box with these big, huge fish, northern pike and stuff. I guess you're catching up there. Tell people about the trip. You go to the same place every year?
I do. We've been going to the same fly-in lodge on Rowan Lake. It's northwest Ontario. For crawling up on 30 years now without missing very many years. Well, and, yeah, it is a slice of heaven. World-class muskies, big pike, lots of smallmouth, big lake trout because it's deep. It has areas that are 150 foot deep. This last trip we caught 7 muskies. 3 of them were 4 foot long. We caught about... We caught about 300 bass in 6 days. About a dozen went 5 pounds, and those were smallmouth. We caught 5 or 6 pike that went over 40 inches, and then 3 or 4 lake trout that went over 3 feet. So, yeah, it is the best place in the world. I love my time there.
I'll bet you do. Some of the pictures, Bo, I shared a couple of those pictures with you.
Incredible.
I know.
Darren, it's so impressive because, more importantly, the fishing is fantastic, but you said you've been doing this 30 years with your dad. This is memories that will last forever, isn't it?
It is. My dad will be 81 on Halloween, and he's in awesome shape, super grateful and blessed.
So
the ability for him to sit in a boat and fish hard like we always have since the year we went is just excellent.
Well, was it his idea originally? Who set this up to begin with?
Oh yeah, that's a great question. In the early 90s, him and my mom went to a different place, and on the floatplane ride on the way back, they stopped at this place and they picked up Bob Trumpy. And to go back to where the base was for the float plane. And, Bob Trumpy, longtime sports announcer guy, he goes, I've been coming here for, 30 years at that point with his boy. He was like, the people are great, the food's great, the fishing is incredible. And so the next year, he booked a trip there with his brother and my uncle. And then the next year, after they got back, he told my dad, you need to take your boy here. And we've been going ever since.
So maybe you don't want to give up your secret fishing place, but what's the name of this place?
It's called Alexander's on Rowan Lake.
Okay.
It's pretty much a 20-minute floatplane ride from Nestor Falls, which is about a 75-80-minute drive from International Falls.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're way up in there. That's not the Boundary Waters canoe area, though, correct?
No, it's, like I said, it's about 80-minute drive to get in a float plane to fly for like 15 or 20 minutes.
Just incredible.
It's a little south of Dryden. It's kind of east of Lake of the Woods.
Wow.
For the people in the know.
Yep. Yeah, I grew up in Minnesota, so we made it to Duluth and Cloquet a lot towards the northern portion. I grew up in the southern portion of Minnesota, but just beautiful country up there. And Boundary Waters Canoe Area, I mean, that's where you no motors at all. I mean, you got a canoe right. in or paddle in. Darren, just random question. And my dad's getting on 80 as well. What was your dad's career? Was he also in the business you're in like in Rhino Shield or any kind of siding?
No, he was an insurance broker, and for his whole career, he dealt with a lot of like big coal mines. He did a lot of big commercial.
Gotcha.
He had to retire. It
was a random question. Twice.
Well, it makes me sad that I didn't do something like that with my dad for all those years. When we went fishing, did a lot of fishing in Lake Erie and stuff like that. Only went to Canada once, and I wish we'd done it a lot more than that. So, Darren, for people that like me who've never gone to one of these fly-in lodge situations, obviously
not yet.
Not yet, but obviously, how I may plan a trip with my son actually, but. Obviously, if you're catching bass and you're catching northern and you're catching trout, you have to fish differently for all of those. Do you go out in the morning and fish for one, come back, have lunch, go out in the afternoon, fish for others? I mean, what describe how that works at one of these lodges.
So the place that we go to, we're on the American plan. We have a cabin that has our own bathroom. No air conditioning, but it does have heat if it gets cold. They feed us breakfast at 7. We're usually on the water by 8. Depending on what the reports are, we'll usually try to troll for some trout in the morning, and that opens up the ability to be catching almost anything.
Yeah.
Then, if it's musky season, we'll usually troll for muskies. When we hit a spot that looks good, then we start fishing for pike, and then we catch bass at the same time.
Wow.
They pack us a lunch, so we don't come in for that, sandwiches, and we take big jugs of water, and then we usually come in around 5 to have a cocktail. They feed us dinner at 6, and the time of year that we go in June, if it's clear out, you can fish till 10.
Wow.
So then it's just rinse and repeat in the evening. And
that's
because we've been going there so long, the nature of the muskies are they're kind of like dogs. They're very territorial. So when you catch one, you can go back the next year and know that that one is a little bit bigger and probably in the same area.
So it's all catch and release?
Yeah, for us.
Okay.
Because we fly to get there. It's just a sport thing for us. We may have a couple shore lunches during the week, depending on the weather, but we don't bring anything back, and that kind of mesmerizes people. They're like, oh, yeah, how do you bring it back? We're like, we don't. And they're like, what?
I was just wondering why I'd never been invited over for a fish fry. Now I get it.
That's it. Yep.
So I'm trying to picture this place you're flying into. About how many people stay at the place? And have you brought your kids along or other family members along to continue this tradition?
So my youngest is 17, and he's finally getting to the point where I think he can handle sitting in a boat all day long for 6 or 7 days. So yeah. That's right around the corner. My daughter was never really interested in much in fishing, but max I would say 30 people.
Okay.
I've been there with just me and my dad for a day or two. It's really light pressure. They tell me that most of the pressure comes in the winter when people can ride snowmobiles in.
No kidding. Huh.
Yeah, it is world-class muskies. The biggest muskie I ever caught was 56 inches. I've caught probably 20 over 50, and a ton of 4-footers, all, you know, 2 to almost 5 feet long, weighing anywhere from 40 to 50 pounds.
Now, have you done big fishing like in the Gulf of Mexico? And if so, how does it compare?
I've done some offshore fishing in different locations on vacations, like in Hawaii and Mexico and Florida and South Carolina.
Yeah.
That to me is just more hit or miss, more random.
Yeah.
You're at the mercy of your guide. We don't use guides because we know what we're doing. We know where we're going. That's why it makes the actual fight so special.
Yeah. What about the actual fight with the fish?
Yeah, it's definitely comparable.
Wow.
You know, if you're catching a marlin, they're going to win that race. But no, the The biggest one I ever caught was they have about a handful of bag of tricks that they use to get off. And once you learn what those are, that helps you to get them in the boat to get a picture. But, yeah, they like to run straight to the boat with the lure so you don't have much attention. When they get sure. there, they like to roll and then take off so they can maybe get the mono up. Because I use a 100-pound mono leader on 17-pound test. And if they can get that around underneath their gills, they can snap that line.
Ah.
They'll also, as soon as they eat your bait, they'll jump straight out of the water with their huge heads and just blow it out of their mouth and laugh at you when they go back in.
I bet.
they're very, very smart, and they've been caught over the years. They tell me that, you know, a 50-inch muskie is about 20 years old.
Wow. Well, it sounds like they're managing it right. I mean, it keeps people coming back. The sport is good, right? The sport aspect of it. That's great. Yeah.
The ecosystem, the food system is phenomenal. The bait fish, all that. You can see on good clear days, you can see about 10 foot into the water. So that makes it really cool when you pull up on a spot and it just looks like an aquarium, and you can actually sight fish if it's sunny out.
Yeah.
Because you can see them sitting over there, you know, you hit the weed beds, you hit the rock piles, anything with real good structure, you're going to find the fish.
That sounds fantastic. So it's called Alexander's on Rowan Lake, and that's in Ottawa, you said?
No, it's in Northwest Ontario.
Ontario, I'm sorry. Sorry. I've got to check that out for sure. So, Darren, you just got back, right?
I did. I've been back a couple weeks now.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So I have to mention, just quick plug here for Rhino Shield. This is your busy season for that too, right?
It is. Yeah, we're super blessed. We got a lot of long-term crews, nobody less than 10 years, and business has been excellent. Everybody's taking advantage of setting up their curb appeal, and now, it doesn't look like much. People are moving around. They're wanting to take care of their investment they're in. And we thank you for your contributions.
Oh, you kidding me, man? I love it. I've been a client for 15 or 16 years now, Bo. I've got it on my house. Yeah. And so it was great just product. A natural when Darren wanted me to do some advertising for him. So that was fantastic.
Well, you know, I've got to ask the question. It's just obvious, I think. I mean, you're a big game fisher. You're fishing with your dad. You're going to, you know, Mexico and different places to fish. Have you ever gone rhino hunting? Are you
no,
big game
but
hunter?
It's on my bucket list.
It has to be, right?
You need one of those mounted in the office, right?
Yeah, I don't know if you can shoot them, but
yeah, I don't know either. It's probably pretty protected these days. Darren Crook, listen, my friend, thank you for giving us some time today.
Oh, my pleasure. Great show, guys. Thanks for letting me be involved. I appreciate it.
You bet, man. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate
it. And
that.
We are going to go there, Mark. I told my dad that this last trip. I told him Mark Cox wants to come here, and he's like, "That'd be great."
Would that be all right with him, Max? That's excellent. You let me know, and I'm in. I am in.
You know, Bo fishes.
It'll be the second week of June. We'll put you on the fish.
All right, please do. You know exactly where to go. All right, Darren, we'll talk soon. I appreciate that, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have a great holiday.
You bet. You bet. And I'll just finish off the plug there. 877-25-RHINO is the phone number for Rhino Shield.
Every time I hear their jingle, I always picture like 1950s waitresses behind the counter.
Tell them, ladies.
You know, that's pretty cool.
I know. Love hearing those stories, though. What a great adventure that is. Fantastic.
Oh, man.
All right.
It really is. It's about the fishing, but it's also about the memories, who you're making it with, too. Like you going out west with your family. I just think that's so cool.
That's what it's all about.
All righty.
I think that does it for us on this edition of Second Amendment Radio.
Happy
the great
birthday,
outdoors.
America.
Happy birthday, America. Yep, and I hope we're not calling you Stumpy by next week.
Happy 4th of July. Enjoy it. We'll see you around next weekend.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.